This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, DFW. Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. I'm RJ Choppy, Bobby Belt, Peyton, and Aiden alongside. And it is time for a little game show. We love a good game show. Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. He's going to be joining us at 9:20. He was in the American Airlines Center last night for the game. Luka's return. Just a depressing, crushing, anger-filled game for me and many others out there. We'll do that at 9:20 and then crosstalk at 9:40. But it's time to make fun of one of our dearest young friends, young Peyton Russell, who he's so cute and innocent and he doesn't even know who.
Very cute.
Pope John Paul is. Wow. But we'll see right. What he knows today. For
it
money.
Is time for how young is Peyton Russell. And I think it should be clarified, Chop.
Yep.
You say this is one of our favorite things because we get to make fun of Peyton, and that's certainly part of it. But also, there's real stakes for him here. He can win money. He's won money from this.
Yeah. A lot of money.
So it can be a good experience. We have the secret lifeline on hold. Somebody that I think listeners are going to be excited to hear from when Peyton goes to our guest. But it is time for How Young is Peyton Russell? The object of the game is simple. We try to figure out if Peyton Russell actually knows significant cultural figures from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Mm-hmm. Peyton is going to get six names that he has to identify. He will pick a decade, RJ will then pick a category, and Peyton will then select the subcategory. For every answer Peyton gets right, I give him $20. At the end of the game, Peyton will get the opportunity to double his money or lose everything, so he can make as much as $240 or have as little as zero. And we've got Corey Majors, it looks like, joining us in here too.
Bobby, turn up his mic.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. I want to play,
thanks.
Guys.
Yeah, no.
I don't have my headphones in yet, but
that's
I want
fine.
To play. Is that all right?
All right, yeah, you can be a part. Absolutely.
I love this game. This is my
it's
favorite
fun.
Game.
It's a fun game.
Yeah, any chance to help prop up Peyton?
Are you my lifeline?
No. Oh, okay. No, you are not.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right. Peyton Russell, are you ready?
I'm going to try a different strategy. I'm going to start writing the names down and see if that helps my memory.
Oh,
you know
okay.
how sometimes you can write
yeah.
notes and you remember that you wrote
right.
the name? Okay, I'm going to try that.
So maybe
this time.
Somewhere in the name, it will give you a clue as to what they are.
Boom.
All right, let's see if you're ready. Peyton, 70s, 80s, or 90s?
My favorite decade was the 80s. Why? Great music. But that's
great music.
It. Great music. Let's start with the 80s.
Great music.
I got to say, I think Peyton's done pretty well in the 70s, actually, oddly enough. Okay, we're doing 80s. Chopper doing sports, society, or entertainment.
You know, he said great music. So let's go society.
No, I'm kidding.
No, you know what? We'll give him music. We'll give him music.
Well, it's entertainment. He gets to then pick if it's music, movies, or TV, Peyton.
Talked all about the music. You know what? Let's go with the music.
All right.
Nice.
Peyton Russell. Who is Steve Perry?
Steve Perry. He,
Steve Perry.
R.I.P.
Nope.
Oh,
no.
I don't believe so at all.
Dang it. Steve Perry. What was his famous song? The name did not help me. Perry. This was I should have got this one. My lifeline is
probably losing
his mind.
I believe in him, and I'll never stop.
Corey, who is Steve Perry?
Hold on. You're not even going to give me a guess as to who he is.
Rock and roll?
Yes.
Okay, yep. That's that, correct.
I can't name a song.
Big Giants fan.
San Francisco?
Let's go to Corey Majors. Corey Majors, who is Steve Perry?
Don't stop believing.
Lead singer Journey.
See, who knows that, though? You just know Journey. That's
literally
that
probably everybody on the fan text.
Everybody now knows.
Journey. Yeah, I would guess that everybody knew that one. All right, so you've lost $20. That is now out of your pocket. You can still max out at $200, though, Peyton. 70s, 80s, or 90s?
70s.
70s. Okay, Chop, you want sports, society, or entertainment?
Society.
Society. Corey Majors, do you want crime, politics, or miscellaneous?
Politics.
Politics. Peyton Russell. Who's Jimmy Carter?
Former president.
There you go. Man, if you got that one wrong. All right, hang on. What did he?
Which one?
What is he most famous? No. What is he most famous for creating? What charity?
He invented or whatever you want to call it. Jimmy V Foundation. I have no idea.
I promise you.
I have no
Habitat for Humanity.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Also a big fan of peanuts. He loved peanuts. It's true. This is not a joke. I'm not being sarcastic.
I don't think I ever knew that.
Peanut farmer.
I thought that was George Washington Carver.
Yeah, that doesn't mean that.
Oh, my God. No, he created the peanut.
That doesn't mean he's the only one who's allowed to be involved with peanuts, Peyton. He didn't have a patent on him that he, enforced regularly. Jimmy Carter was allowed to farm peanuts.
We had a George Washington Carver reference on the show today.
So. All right, $20 for Peyton Russell.
There you go.
70s, 80s, or 90s, Peyton?
I have not done the 90s, but let's go back to 80s.
All right.
All right. Chop, sports, society, or entertainment?
Society, baby.
Peyton, Corey, crime, politics, or miscellaneous?
Crime.
Peyton Russell. Who's John Gotti?
John, all right. J-O-H-N.
Yeah, now spell Gotti.
G-O-D-D-Y?
Yep, nailed it.
Okay, ring me up. I have not used my lifeline.
You have not. The lifeline is still there.
Let's go to Mr. Lifeline or Mrs. Lifeline. I have no idea.
It's Mr. Lifeline.
Okay.
Let's go to Mr. Lifeline, who is, just because you have a lifeline, Peyton, doesn't mean that the lifeline doesn't end up being younger than you.
Oh, no.
That would be embarrassing.
Maybe significantly younger than
you.
Oh,
no.
Welcome on the D&M Leasing Hotline, none other than our favorite, no offense, Aiden, video producer of all time, Ryan Cotreri.
Oh, my baby.
He's on the phone.
Yes, sir.
Wow. How is the cartel there in Midland or wherever you live now? how are things?
It's tempered down. We've been addressing it. A lot of them are locked up.
They found out Ryan.
They found out.
We're working on it. We're addressing it.
They knew ORC had hit the streets. Whoa. They're like, we better wrap up our operation here. All right, Ryan, you are here to answer for Peyton. You may or may not know. Who knows? Ryan Cotreri, who is John Gotti?
John Gotti.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
This is in the 80s.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, 80s crime.
Crime.
Who is John Gotti?
So he killed someone.
So so it's a recognizable name.
Yeah.
He actually might be in the cartel as well. You never know.
Maybe close. So, who is he?
He was a prominent figure in the, am I pronouncing this right, Gambino crime family?
Wow, yes.
Ryan!
That's fantastic.
Job, Ryan. Get your job back.
We chased Ryan off. That's why he's not here anymore. Yeah, totally. Ryan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sit tight. Because,
hey, thank you. How's everyone doing over there? How's everything going?
Sean's baby is 18 years old, and he is still on paternity leave. So, he's got all those to exercise.
I heard about that.
Yeah, so, but it's good.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
I know the Twitch was happy to see you in there the other day. Sit tight for us, Rye. I know you love that nickname, and we're going to come back around you potentially for the final question. $40, Peyton.
I believe it was December 16th, 1986, is when he killed Paul Costa.
A day that will live in infamy.
How do I remember that? Well, I'm Italian. That's how we
do it. Yeah, exactly.
Like, $40, Peyton. 70s, 80s, or 90s?
All right, we'll do it. 90s.
90s, okay.
You know what?
Wait,
let's go sports.
Sports, all right. Corey, do you want MLB, NFL, or NBA?
90s NBA.
Ooh. Dang it.
Peyton, you might get this.
A lot of names.
You might get this. Peyton Russell, who is Latrell Sprewell?
You didn't know Stephon Marbury, but you got to know Latrell Sprewell.
He was a former Maverick.
Peyton. I've literally referenced Latrell Sprewell, I think, 6 times in the last week when we were talking about Ja Morant.
P.J. Carlesimo.
He coached he choked P.J. Carlesimo, New York Knicks, Golden State Warriors. Peyton, we're very disappointed.
I'm L-E-T. Sorry, dude. How do you spell his name?
L-A-T-R-E-L-L. Latrell Sprewell. No, not Latrell. All right.
Like the cartel.
Peyton, that's rough for you. So far, the only one you've gotten on your own is Jimmy Carter, a very famous U.S. president.
That was politics, too. That's politics. That's my weakest subject.
Blind spot.
All right. 70s, 80s, or 90s, Peyton. You got 2 more answers left. You have $40.
70s.
70s. Sports, society, or entertainment shop?
You know what? Let's go. Let's go back to sports for him. Go back to sports.
All right, MLB, NFL, or NBA, Corey?
70s NFL.
Oh, God.
Peyton Russell.
Oh, no. I thought I was helping.
Who is Chuck Knoll?
This is easy. You got this.
It looks easy for him.
Oh,
you got to remember,
no.
Corey, nothing is easy for Peyton.
What are the chances he spells his last name right?
Too much faith.
N-O-L-L?
Good.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, there's no K.
Yeah.
Offense or defense, Chuck?
I would say he errs on the defensive side.
He was a linebacker. AFC, dude, NFC.
Was he?
You know what? Just give me.
Hey. All right, Corey, who's Chuck Knoll?
Steelers
head coach.
He's got like 4 rings.
Did he ever play, though?
He might have. He did in college, I'm sure. But he may have had like a Bill Belichick. All right,
Alex Bedford shaking his head yes, so I assume he played.
Peyton, all right, here you go. Last one before we get to the final round, the walk-off, where you have the option to go with Corey, RJ, or our special guest, Ryan Cotrere. 70s, 80s, or 90s?
80s.
80s, we're going with. All right, Chop Sports.
Society.
All right. Okay, so we've already done crime. Corey, do you want politics?
Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous.
Go.
Okay. Peyton Russell. Who is Sally Ride?
Sally Ride. She was
What's
kidnapped.
That jingle you said?
When was she?
Hang on.
You said society, not crime.
Finish that thought. She was kidnapped by him.
I thought this was crime. I was trying to
know where he was going with that.
Peyton, finish that thought. Who kidnapped Sally Ride?
I don't know.
I want you to finish that thought. Who did it?
I had an answer, but I'm not going to say it. No idea. Corey,
who's Sally Ride?
She's the first woman astronaut?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
So, remember last time, Peyton just thought the only weapon we would name in this game.
Was she on Apollo 13?
Oh, my gosh.
First.
All right, Peyton, you end up with, you don't have to make notes. This isn't history class. You've already lost. Peyton, all right, do you want, or actually, no, we're in the final round question. You can double your money or you can lose it all. Do you want to double it?
Double it.
Do you want to go for the double or nothing round?
I'll double it.
Double it.
Okay, do you want RJ Choppy, Corey Majors, or Ryan Cotrere to be your answer for a name from the 60s? I'm not going to give you a category, just a name from the 60s.
Not Corey. Ryan was not born in the 60s.
No, he was not.
I was.
Thank you, Ryan, for the
I was in the 70s.
Thank you, Childish Gambino earlier, though.
Thank you.
That was pretty impressive.
Thank you for the $20, Ryan. But I'm going to go with RJ Choppy.
All right, before you go with RJ Choppy, then, we're going to quickly say goodbye to Ryan Couture. Ryan, thank you for joining us, being our special guest.
Thank you, Ryan.
Hey,
we miss
you.
Everybody still loves you. Aiden has been, he's got a little shrine to you over here as our new video guy. He's been told to worship at the altar of Ryan Couture. So hopefully everything is great over there. And let us know next time you're in Fort Worth so we can all drink Moscow mules together. It'll be great.
Absolutely. That sounds like a good plan.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. All right.
Sorry,
RJ Choppy.
Bud.
It is up to you now. I'm going to give you a name. Let's see if you know it. RJ Choppy, this name from the 60s. From the 60s. RJ Choppy, who's Robert McNamara?
Yeah, I should know this.
You should.
Oh, no. Did I just?
I should. He's giving me these Robert McNamara. I know this one. It's he was an actor. He was in one of the James Bond movies.
No, that's not true at all.
Dang.
Robert McNamara. Ask Hagee if he knows who Robert McNamara is.
Oh, wait a second. Hang on.
Hagee, ask him if he knows who Robert McNamara is. No, just stop guessing. Ask Hagee, because Hagee doesn't have to
kill somebody or something.
No. He was the Secretary of Defense for JFK and LBJ.
During the Cold War and Vietnam. He was a big part of why Vietnam happened.
Yeah.
Man. You know,
Peyton is distraught leaving here with no money. He leaves here similarly to his bank account from last Friday when he they took the down payment out for his new house.
I gotta go get ready for my show, guys.
Yeah, enjoy. Thank you so much, Corey. Peyton, get back in here, you loser. You leave with nothing. You get nothing, sir. Just like little Charlie Bucket.
You know, I'm sorry, Peyton. I thought I had that one. Bobby has gotten me twice here in the 60s. With random political people that I just don't know.
Two JFK tie-in, too.
See, you know what? I don't really consider Bob McNamara to be part of the JFK conspiracy.
Oh, now you're Bob McNamara?
Yeah, we're on our first name basis.
I love you go from being like, he's an actor. He was Bod, and now you're just like, you're transitioning to Bob.
We're on a first name basis here, Bobby and I. Old Bob and I here. We're on a first name basis. I don't really consider him to be part of the whole conspiracy theory. JFK, I never saw his name pop up in any. Of the podcasts I listened to or the videos and movies that I watched. Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram, is next. He was at the Mavericks game last night. I'll tell you about the atmosphere he saw next on The Fan.
That right there, RJ Choppy, is a Fire Nico chant.
Is it really?
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I couldn't make that out.
That was captured by our next guest, who, even though he is a football man, he is also a basketball man. He is a big-time basketball fan. We already know about his love for Jimmy Butler, and he was in attendance last night covering the game, so he is here to talk to us about not only the return of Luka Doncic and what he experienced there, but also a little bit of Cowboys and NFL draft as we get closer and closer to draft day. We're actually 2 weeks out as it stands right now. It is Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joining us here on the D&M Leasing Hotline on 105.3 The Fan. Nick, how you doing, man?
Yeah, doing good. How are you, fellas? It's definitely been an interesting 24 hours. I took a side mission away from draft work just to have some fun last night and see the event, and it was certainly one of them.
Where did you sit?
So they had me in the press box, and then I just kind of roamed around and found a story, wrote a story on the Fan perspective, and a lot of fans are grieving. It's almost like there's a loss, and it makes sense, right? And I met up with this family that flew in from Slovenia last night to be at that game, and they had connected with us. They had connected with the city of Dallas throughout Luka Doncic's career. They had flown to Dallas multiple times for games, and they were looking around like, "This is our last time to come here. This is the last time we have a reason to be here." And you know, we loved this city too, and now we have to walk away as well. So there was a lot of emotions in that building last night. It was definitely one of the stranger events I've ever covered.
So. I've heard a couple of people say like it was like they were expecting it. They didn't know what to expect going in to the type of atmosphere that it was. There were some people who said it was electric, and others said like I was expecting it to be electric, and it was very odd because it felt like a Super Bowl crowd where nobody really knew who to root for. How would you describe it?
Yeah, certainly in those first 10 minutes, it's every time Luka touches the ball, cheers. Every time the Mavs score, cheers. And he was touching the ball on every possession. So they were just cheering up and down the court. I think that's fair. I don't think anyone knew what to expect walking in. And I think that included Luka Doncic. I mean, you see the video tribute whenever it started playing. You could see the emotion just kind of take over him. And he eventually had to look away from the Jumbotron before the end of it. I mean, it's honestly credit to him, and J.J. Redick, Lakers head coach, said it after the game. Credit to him to be able to compartmentalize his emotions and then go out there and have the performance he did. And, you know, you take away the jitters at the free throw line. You take away those first 3 minute jitters. He's dropping 50 in that game last night. But regardless, it was a special performance. It was a special night at the AAC.
You kind of just mentioned it. You said you've never really covered an event like that before. just the energy in the building and some of the, whether that's just the fan intensity, the emotions of Luka Doncic, what to you stood out about just how unique it was and the aspects of it that when you look back on it, you just go like, I don't know that I've ever encountered anything like that and how, if I'll ever encounter anything like that again.
Yeah, return games have happened. This is probably the first one I've covered, quote unquote, but it doesn't feel like the overwhelming support for a return game was as high as it was for Luka last night, right? Because you think about when other stars depart their city, you know, LeBron leaving Cleveland, LeBron leaving Miami, Dwayne Wade leaving Miami, maybe that's, there's a little bit of similarity there, but that had the writing on the wall for a long time, so that felt a lot more like closure, Dwayne Wade going back to Miami. This felt a lot more like acceptance. I think closure is still a long ways away for this fan base. It may never come. I mean, right. You know, you talk about it being compared to Babe Ruth and that trade. Closure didn't happen for Babe Ruth until 2004 when the Red Sox finally got it done. And so could we be looking at 2108 or however long it took until this fan base can finally have closure on this? I don't know, but I'd be curious to know how Luka has been able to compartmentalize these last 24 hours, especially given that they are in the mix, the heat of a playoff run right now to try to clinch a third seed. So fascinating night, just a unique night all the way around.
And I wonder if that closure or whatever you want to call it, you know, happens as the next after a generation, right? And you have a new generation of Mav fans that come up that don't remember this trade. Or if it's simply as much as, hey, as soon as Nico is gone or Patrick Dumont and the ownership group is gone, that's when it changes. Or never.
Yeah. I'll say one thing about Nico Harrison. He learned his poker face from the Adelson and Dumont family. So those casino people, they put that poker face right on him. He was in that tunnel and did not budge the whole night.
Dude, he absolutely did not move, couldn't be bugged to move out from there. One last question here on this before we get into some Cowboy stuff. I'm curious. You know, anybody who stood next to Nick Harris, he's got the sleeves on right now, but anybody who stood next to Nick Harris, Nick, you got the D tattoo. Right on the inside of your wrist, that I assume it is. I've never asked, but it's it looks like the Dallas logo.
It is.
It's the city of Dallas logo there that you got there. And to me, that's the
with the three.
Yeah, that's the one. So there's the. I think we felt like this goes deeper than basketball. Like this felt like a city felt like they were betrayed by somebody who blew into town, did not understand the community, didn't have respect for the people that lived here and helped build that. So when it comes to that. Is that the sense you got last night from people was just not only like this is about something bigger than just my favorite players gone now. This is a punch to the gut of a city and its fabric of the way it views itself as a community almost.
Yeah, 100%. There was this group of buddies. They were probably mid-20s that were in Victory Plaza last night just kind of hanging around. And they were diehard Mavericks fans their whole lives. And now they're Laker fans. And they pointed to the Dirk statue and said, loyalty never fades away. He's like, that's not true with this organization anymore. I can't be loyal to that. So it's a heartbreak. It's a devastation. It's a betrayal. There was even one of those preacher guys in a megaphone out at Victory Plaza last night talking about hope and forgiveness and being able to overcome oppression. And people were walking up to him and talking to him about Luka Doncic. It literally felt like someone died. Literally did, and it's something that's going to take a long time to heal. I don't think it happens during Luka Doncic's career because he's going to win a ring. He might win two, he might win three. Every time that happens, that's just going to be another gut punch in the chest to Mavs fans, whether Nico Harrison has a job with the Mavericks or not.
Nick Harrison from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. All right, draft is 2 weeks away. Simple question, I guess, but it's the one I think everybody's trying to figure out right now. Your odds-on favorite today, if I made you place a bet and say, this guy is going to be the pick at number 12, who do you think ends up being the first pick for the Cowboys here in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I still think it's going to be Teteroa McMillan, receiver out of Arizona. My only holdup is, does someone take him before Dallas gets the chance? I think if he's on the board, I think he's the pick. And if he's not on the board, I think Matthew Golden is the pick. Matthew Golden is on a 30 visit with the Cowboys today. They had the majority of their 30 visits in over the weekend. But scheduling conflicts, Matthew Golden is a hot request. So he comes in individually, which I think could benefit the team at the end of the day. Just try to get a one-on-one view of him. Everyone can see how he walks around the building. And then tomorrow, Teteroa McMillan is in the building on an individual visit. So they'll be able to get both of these guys, sit down with them, and see what that looks like. It's going to be a fascinating 48 hours to look at those two prospects. But if you're asking me, I think it's McMillan right now.
Why are people so – does it seem like he's more split? People are more split on him than others because it just seems
McMillan?
Like – I've seen people have him in the top eight and then others outside the top 20.
Yeah, I think there might be a couple of things going on with Teteroa McMillan. A, draft fatigue is very real. And that's in the sense of, hey, we've heard Teteroa McMillan's name as a first rounder since August. And so that you could kind of attribute that to Kelvin Banks, too. I think Kelvin Banks is one of the best offensive linemen in this draft, but it's kind of just fatigue. You get tired of talking about a guy. And everyone wants to have like the hipster first round. Hey, this guy's good too. And that's the Matthew Golden, which he is. Don't get me wrong. I think that's one element of it. And I think two, you could also look at some bigger receivers that have not panned out in the first round. I mean, you can look more so in recent years with Quentin Johnston and see that. And I think you could look back even as far as a decade ago and see some bigger set receivers that didn't quite pan out as first round guys. But I think Teteroa McMillan is an exception. I think he's a clear wide receiver one in this draft. If you take away Travis Hunter, you talk about the possession skills, you talk about his downfield ability, his route tree at 6'4" is one of the best that you'll see for a guy that size. He can get it done in the short to intermediate game and give you yards after the catch. He can take that top off of a defense and be that downfield presence. To me, at his best, he looks like Michael Thomas. And I think if he lands in the right system in the league, a team will certainly be able to take advantage of that. And if you're looking at it from a Dallas Cowboys perspective, his possession skills, his ability to go up and get those 50-50 balls, make them 75-25 at times, they haven't had that since Dez Bryant. This is a guy who was the number one volleyball player in the country coming out of high school. I mean, he's got athleticism that can jump up and go over a net and play above the rim. He's an athletic presence that you would love to have on the outside of your receiving corps.
Nick, when you look at, you mentioned McMillan, Golden, those I think are two names that we're seeing a lot. We've heard Omarion Hampton some, you know, that's been a chic pick. I think probably just trying to pair need with, you know, what the Cowboys might have there on the board at the time. But, you know, in recent years, Mozzie Smith wasn't frequently mocked to Dallas ahead of the draft. Tyler Smith was somewhat of a surprise. They're started to build some momentum the day of. Who's the name or two names you think that you're like, hey, this might be a sleeper name where if it's not McMillan or if they decide, you know, okay, McMillan's off the board, we don't necessarily want to go Golden this early, we're going to go this direction. Who's a name or two that you think fans need to keep an eye on?
Yeah, I would keep an eye on Armon Membu out of Missouri, the offensive lineman. And they haven't done a ton of work on offensive linemen in the pre-draft process, but Membu is a guy that they brought in for a 30 visit. It's a guy that has versatility that can play on either side of the line. He could even maybe even slide inside. I think that's a guy to maybe keep a look at. Would Emeka Egbuka count in this category too?
I think so. Yeah.
I think that is a potential trade back scenario where if McMillan, Golden, Genty, these guys are off the board and you have a player at say 18 with Seattle or 20 with Denver, you fall back and you go get Emeka Egbuka and you pick up a day two pick. I think that would be a phenomenal scenario for the Cowboys if they were able to land on that. I would keep an eye on that, but also one thing I just keep coming back to is the amount of edge rushers that they are doing work on these first 2 days. Whether it's Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M, James Pierce out of Tennessee, they have continued to look at a lot of these top edge rusher guys. They brought them in for 30 visits. They've gone to their pro days. They had formal meetings with them at the combine. It's something that I'm definitely keeping an eye on going into draft weekend.
Hey Nick, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, fellas. Y'all have a great one.
Nick Harris. We're Star Telegram at the Mavericks game last night. A little bit of draft talk here on the Fan,
covering all the beats. He's all over the beats, man. He is a Jimmy Butler fan. He's a Jimmy Butler patron. Let me tell you what, Chop. He loves him some Jimmy. That was when he sat up with us for
Jimmy Butler too.
Well, I mean, that was he wanted to throw hands with Sean over Jimmy Butler.
Really?
Yeah, they were ready to scrap over it.
Jimmy had a 5-year run in Miami where they went to two finals and like three Eastern Conference finals. That's a pretty good run.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He's a pain in the butt.
But I can't call Nick a Jimmy Butler fan, as you've told me. I gotta call him a Jimmy Butler patron.
He's a patron. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I don't want to get thrown out.
Crosstalk with KNC Masterpiece coming up next. Good morning, DFW. Sean and RJ 105.3 The Fan. We have reached Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece. Good morning, boys.
Hello. What up, y'all?
Corey, hello again.
Sounded very depressed from you, Corey.
Yeah. He's no. sad. Peyton didn't win, and we couldn't have helped him.
I wanted Peyton to be a little bit richer.
We did find out that he was screwed either way, because none of y'all had the answer.
Kevin was the only one.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know what Bob did.
Kevin even said whenever I got into the other room, he was like, that was a tough one for everybody.
It was.
So.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's supposed to be, I would assume that that is supposed to be as tough for you guys as some of the 70s, 80s stuff.
No.
That's the thrust of why I pick. I'm not going to throw out to you, like, who's Lyndon Johnson? Because that's.
Yeah. See, I think.
That's a highway, right?
It is.
That's correct. Bring yourself up.
LBJ.
$20.
I
just
like the emphasis you put on that.
I happen to think that the Secretary of Defense, that's kind of a. It's a figurehead job as far as
who's
I'm concerned.
Sure. Defense, yeah. Who's the Secretary of Defense in White House, in West Wing, Kevin?
Was it Josh?
I don't know.
Okay.
He was unimportant.
If the president's the commander-in-chief, why do I need some underling? Yeah. Let him do it.
I'll be honest.
Because you're too busy banging broads at night to worry about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Is that a Kennedy thing?
Yes.
Prove it.
Yes,
prove
it was.
Where's the proof that he was banging broads? Yeah,
show me the babies.
Said. Yeah. Show me the babies.
I'll show you plenty of interviews that confirm that's exactly what was happening.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if,
he said, she
if,
said.
There, if there was one Secretary of Defense that I probably wouldn't say was just a figurehead, it might be the one that was helping with the Cuban Missile Crisis, the Cold War, and Vietnam. Those that might be the one that would stand out.
Say helping. It sounds like he was getting us into all these things.
Yeah, because I thought at
that
time
Kennedy was busy.
At that time, I would have thought it was Alan Dulles that was getting us into all those things.
Mm. No, it was not.
As soon as you started to say, was he that one actor, and did he kill somebody? I was like, oh, my God.
He was Bond. He was one of the Bonds.
No. He was in a Bond. I didn't say he was one of the Bonds.
Was that just you pulling something out, or did you think that was it?
I thought that there was a Robert. Isn't it Robert Brock? That's what it is.
Robert Goulet?
Yeah, Robert Goulet.
The singer?
That's what it is, Robert Goulet.
No, I will say, though.
Roger Moore?
No. I know all the Bonds. I don't have to worry about that. I was thinking it was like an actor.
Name all the Bonds.
Well, you had Roger Moore, like you just said. You had Sean Connery. You had Timothy Dalton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good one.
George Lazenby.
There you go.
Very good.
He was in one of them. He's an Aussie, though. You had Pierce, and then Daniel Craig.
Very good.
Damn. And I don't know who they have now. Is it Benedict Cumberbatch? Is he the new one?
Have they picked a new one yet?
They haven't picked one yet.
Oh, I think they're already filming. Are they not?
Did they?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought they picked one.
Benedict Cumberbatch is.
I always thought Tom Hardy would be a good one.
I would have liked Tom Hardy too. It's not Cumberbatch. It's not.
There's no official announcement. Aaron Taylor Johnson is widely considered the front runner, and I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
But I didn't know who Daniel Craig was before.
That's right.
Thing
that's true, and he was fantastic.
Yeah, Aaron Taylor Johnson was kick-ass.
Oh, that kid?
Seems weird.
Oh.
He a jack, dude.
Good for him.
He like married one of his directors or something from one of his early movies. He was like 19. He married this one who's like 41.
He said that that word started with a D. I thought he was going to say daughters. I was like, what?
No.
The introduction theme Wilson song Phillips. For Kick-Ass is the introduction theme song for this show.
Oh,
is
really?
It?
Stand Up by the Prodigy.
I did not know that.
Really?
You learn something new every day.
This show. What is coming up on this show?
Guys.
Poche again?
No, we don't have Poche again today. Right out of the gate, we do. How did watching the tribute feel last night for you? And how did you feel watching Luca watch the video? Mm. And then at 10:20, Tyler Mallee is saving the world.
He is.
He is saving the world, baby, because he is fantastic at baseball. We'll get into all that today.
And also
at 11.
Oh.
Kevin.
Oh.
I'm struggling to enjoy this Rangers start.
Why?
Because I just can't trust.
With the offense?
Everything.
Yeah.
The all of sports in DFW has made me unable to trust sports in DFW.
Well, I'll tell you, it is.
Stars just lost 6-5 in a game they were up.
It is funny, though, when you see that when the Rangers were 8-2, and they had the lowest batting average in Major League Baseball, and they had scored like fewer runs than just about every team.
51-39 is their runs. Running differential.
It was like, all right, okay, it's
just
enjoy it. Enjoy that you're 8-2, like because you very easily could be 3-7 at the same point.
So Tolo's trying to help me out at that 11:00 today.
Okay, very nice, very nice. I don't want you to give away all your Mavericks segments, but I tell you, I felt more enraged by the tribute video and Luca's reaction than I was going in.
Okay, I think I was sad. Not mad. Like, I saw a lot of people that were mad. I feel like I was more sad than mad.
Well, I was sad for him. I was mad. It was like seeing his reaction and the tears. It made me more angry that they actually dealt with it. It was like, this guy was never going anywhere. Yeah. This guy didn't want to leave. He still, like, how weird does it have to be on the Laker bench seeing this guy crying that he really doesn't want to be there either?
Yeah.
He wants to be over. I just made me even more angry at the whole situation.
I was furious as the game started. Like, I was really mad watching every dribble. I was mad.
Part of their whole pitch on why they did the trade was he didn't care.
He didn't care.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care enough. And it's like, that looked like he cared a lot. Yeah, like that really looked cared. Like it mattered to him.
Yeah.
And that
he
was
never
just,
wanted to leave.
No, he never wanted to leave. This is where he thought he was going to be forever. He was, as somebody, we were talking to different fans in Victory Plaza yesterday. And I was talking to this one guy and I didn't record him. He just walked up and was just chit chatting. And he said, you know, it's kind of like when you're a kid and like your first real best friend like moves out of state. Like it's that same sort of almost feeling of just helplessness. Like, why? Like why is this being taken? He said that kind of just helplessness and that feeling of just being distraught. It like it is so much deeper. And the thing they don't understand, man, they keep talking about basketball. It's so much deeper than basketball for a lot of people.
A really good explanation of it because you can't do anything about
right.
it. Like we couldn't as the kids. No, we can't do anything to change it.
What do you do when one of your friends changed homeschools?
I mean, typically I would just walk to their room and I would just knock on the door. Typically we would change those. So
golly, Chop.
There are a lot of homeschool kids out there.
Yeah.
And you can
and a lot, Colby, just, and a lot of them are just like Bobby.
Colby Sapp was.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, Colby Sapp was homeschooled for a very different reason than I was. I was homeschooled because of Columbine. He was homeschooled because he
got kicked out of the ring.
He was.
Because even Votek said, get out of here.
The way Colby tells it, he was homeschooled because he was just too much of a rebel. And they were like, yeah, we need to keep an eye on you.
So you were really homeschooled because of Columbine?
Not because of that. I do remember my mom saying the day of Columbine, though. She goes, if you guys weren't homeschooled today, you would be tomorrow.
We had an intern.
Man, I'll tell you, I was in college when that happened. I'll never. My buddy he was from Denver. He was like the town over from Columbine, and it was. I'll never forget that.
We had an intern that later went on to work in radio, who around that time, after that time, he was walking around his high school telling everybody they're on his list, and
oh my gosh,
and he thought it was a funny joke. And then he got expelled. And where did he get homeschooled for a while too? Was
that I don't know if I remember that last.
You know,
part.
My still around. I could picture my 12-year-old saying something like that in a joking manner.
Thinking nothing of it. He was so dry. He was the dry person that would walk up and do it, and you thought it was for real. And he also had the look.
You know.
Wow. Hang on.
Holy moly!
I have a follow up.
Jeez Louise. Yeah,
you know the look.
What is the look?
You know the look.
Just say it to the microphone.
I get we all have to react that way. Y'all know exactly what he's talking about.
I know exactly what he's talking about.
Kevin's saying that because he knows who he is and he knows I'm right.
I mean, I know who he is.
Do I know, right?
It just feels really harsh.
Hey, so I'm curious.
He said it too.
Do I know him?
You've heard of him, I'm sure.
Definitely heard of him. Oh, yeah.
He thought it was a funny joke, right? Yeah. And it was not funny. Everybody else that got him in trouble. We have those discussions off the air all the time of like, oh, I'm going to say this to y'all. Like, don't say that. That's bad. Or we couldn't say that on the air. What's
you usually put them in a group chat and then you read them on the air.
Do you remember? Yeah, and then you cry about just one little out of a step word or whatever.
Death joke.
Yeah. All toxic masculinity over here. What is there a time that stands out to either of you, either on the air or just in a social setting where you're like, this is funny to me, and it like painfully was not funny to anybody else, and it maybe got you in trouble?
Yeah. It was when Corey responded to that one guy on our Facebook page about the biking thing.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a joke. I was making a joke, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah, there was that
it
one.
It was not a joke anymore. I was like, oh, crap.
I was at... So, growing up, we had 9 kids. My dad got asked all the time... One of the standard questions we got was, are you Catholic or Mormon? People just assumed because we had 9 kids, we were probably Catholic or Mormon. So my dad's standard response just became when they would ask that, he'd go, we're neither, we're just white trash. And
oh my God.
Somehow that naturally came up in a discussion one time when I was on a job interview, and I just repeated that line to them, and it did not land with them at all.
Okay.
I think it may have cost me that job.
So this isn't as like bold as that,
yeah.
But my grandfather, I would always say, Grandma, these beans are great. You know, like she would make great beans.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather would say, "Shut up." She mashed all the poot out of them. And so so you weren't going to have gas later.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, so I always thought that was funny. So one night we're sitting at dinner with all of Adrian's family, and I'm in high school, right out of high school. Nice dinner. And somebody says the beans are great. And I went, yeah, they mashed all the poot out of them. Not a single person laughed. And Adrian kind of looked
awful.
At me like, the hell are you doing right now? And
I was
like,
awful.
Oh, crap.
I have probably countless of these. I mean, I wanted to say at my dad's funeral that he was so pale, even his ashes are white.
I do remember you were chopping that in crosstalk,
but
that would have gone over with a thud.
It would have gone over with a thud. I had this the other day, my buddy in a group chat, you know, and we give each other crap, and it's about his father-in-law is a total jokester, but his father-in-law lost a leg.
Did he approve you telling this group chat, by the way?
Well, he's on the radio.
Oh, okay.
And this is about me, not about him. I'm not saying his name. But anyway, his father-in-law lost, but he's got a great sense of humor about it, right? So he was doing this thing where he has a walker and he like lifts himself up. So his like body is like doing a handstand, like it's super strong. And my kids realize what a dark sense of humor I have, because when I said, I mean, it's not that impressive. He's got 60 pounds missing.
Oh, jeez, wow.
60-pound leg.
That's what a leg
impressive.
Is on an adult male. You know,
Hold on, the
father-in-law laughed.
Now, what are you basing that on?
Don't worry about it. Do you have any idea
if that is accurate or not?
My leg weighs 28 pounds.
I assume each leg is about a third of your body weight.
Are we sure that it was
Thanks
a...
Thanks to Men's T Clinic.
Are we sure if it's a he's not lifting as much weight thing, and maybe he was just using his brain like Professor Xavier?
I don't get it.
Golly, dude.
Hey, he does. That's all that matters.
There was also that time with Roger Staubach.
It's a good joke. It's a good joke, you know? I'm sorry if it's... it's a good joke. My jokes are dark humor.
Did he laugh?
He did. He laughed. And that's all that matters. That was the audience.
All that matters.
Is it weird that feels like you're off the hook?
Yep.
Then they're like, well, he laughed at it. So.
No, I don't think it does. You can't get offended on behalf of somebody else.
Right. Exactly.
If they're not.
Exactly.
Have you not seen Society?
I don't care.
I don't accept it.
Good.
I just don't accept
if
somebody getting offended.
The person that I'm directing the joke to Society funny, anyway. That's all that matters to me.
Okay.
That was for them. And I'm bringing you inside the fourth wall into the group chat.
Yeah. So maybe like if you would say something on the radio typically, though, you maybe this just you don't go tweet it to everybody maybe like 13 years ago when the Mavericks lose a game.
Oh my God.
Dang, oh my dude. God. Dude. What is the matter with you?
Jeez.
My God.
Okay, all right. I take back my answer from earlier.
You
that was the
that joke
that didn't
was
land.
Land, right?
That's the joke that didn't land. Jeez.
I love you if you're listening.
Is next.